Oh, he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy to be lifted up. He is worthy to be magnified. He is worthy to be glorified. He is worthy to be exalted above every other name. Jesus, you alone are worthy. Jesus, you alone are worthy, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're still standing, we're going to go to God in prayer for today and for this service. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there is no other God besides you. You alone are worthy to be able to be lifted up and be magnified, Father. For you alone are one that spoke the world into existence, O Heavenly Father. Let us never forget, Father, it is your breath that resides in this earthly body, Father. We give that breath back to you today, Father. It is you who allows us to be able to lift our hands towards heaven, Father. It's you that allows us to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, Father. Now, Father, we give you praise and glory and honor today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Sister Beth's not up there. Oh, Brooklyn's up there today. She's waving at me. She's waving. I'm waving back at her. Sister Brooklyn, can I have one verse? Give me Psalms 37 and verse 23. Give her a chance. We, she and I did not get a chance to get together, but I want to read one verse. You got it? Okay. We're all being patient. Okay. Okay. I'll read it. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his ways. I've got to give you a title today. The title is Driver's Education. Driver's Education. You know, years ago, before you could get your driver's license, you had to take driver's education. I don't know if they still have driver's education anymore. You know, it was in the summertime, and it was for 2 weeks. The first week you spent in this little classroom, it was like a little trailer. And you had your little steering wheel, and you had your little kind of brake thing, and you had your simulator where you pretend like you were driving. You know, most of us thought we really knew how to drive, but we really didn't. You know, I grew up in the country. We had this old Ford F-100 pickup. It was nice and black. That had the old 3-speed, the old H on the column. You know, and when you're the youngest person, you learn how to drive it. But the funny thing about it, you only learn how to put it in first gear. And you always kind of got whiplash. You know, you go down the road, and I tried to explain to my daughter when we got older that the old truck, it didn't have a key and ignition. It had the old starter over here on the left side where you reached over with your foot, and you pressed on to get it started. But then you got in the driver's education class, and after the first week of being in class, they took you out to drive. Now, your instructor was sitting in the front passenger seat. They didn't have a steering wheel, but they had that auxiliary brake over there that they could mash on the brakes and slow you down when you were going a little too fast. I call this driver's education because I want to look at an interesting story in the Bible. I want to look at the story of Joseph. It's an interesting story that gives us some insight. Understand something. We think we control our lives, but in reality, we do not. God has given man free will. But free will, that privilege, comes with some responsibilities. Understand me today. We sit around a lot of time and we talk about life, but we really don't understand life because we talk about what we're going to do later on today or tomorrow or next week. But in reality, we don't know what's going to happen 30 seconds from now. No man, and I wrote this down, no man knows what lays before him, nor what shall be after him. Understand what I'm saying. You don't really know what lays out there before you. You got to get to a point somewhere that you began to trust the Lord. Let's look at the life of Joseph. To open your book, we're going to go to Genesis. And it's an interesting story because I tried to put it all together and try to understand what happened to Joseph. We read the story of Joseph. We're going to go to chapter 37. And I'm going to work my way through this story. It's an interesting story because in verse 1, Jacob dwelled in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. He gave these to the generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Here is an interesting scenario because you've got to grasp the picture. Joseph brings his father an evil report. The first part of the thing I'm amazed about is Joseph understands the difference between good and evil. Joseph is 17 years old. A side story about it is he's still a teenager, but yet he understands right and wrong. I say that because in your house, sometimes not everybody wants to live for God. To begin to understand Joseph's story, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 31 and begin to understand his mother, Rachel. When Jacob leaves Laban's house with Rachel, Rachel does something interesting. She takes the false gods of her father with her. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. Joseph's mother was not living for God. Understand what I'm trying to tell somebody today. She was not living the way she was supposed to live. It says, now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and set upon them. Rachel worshiped false gods. In the second term, you could say, Rachel was a thief. They weren't her gods. She took her father's gods. So first of all, Joseph's mother was not living for God. At this point in his life, you had a second problem in the house. Jacob was not doing what Jacob was supposed to do. Understand something. Listen to what takes place in 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fled from the face of Esau, thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. So first of all, Rachel's not living for God. His father Jacob is tolerating the false gods in his house. We got a problem here because let me say something. As you are a parent, you are an adult, you control what happens in your house, not your children control the house. Understand something. But now Joseph is sitting in the house with a mother who does not believe in God. His father is tolerating this story. But we began to understand something. So he brings him a report that his brothers are doing something evil. Verse 3 says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. So he loved Joseph because Joseph was a son of his old age. But I will take liberty here and say the other reason Jacob loved Joseph, because Joseph understood right and wrong. Understand something. He understood the difference between loving God and hating God, doing what's right and what's doing wrong. So the Bible says, now Jacob loved Joseph. But it's interesting what takes place. The Bible tells us, now guess what? His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. Why did he love him? Because y'all guys doing evil. He's trying to live for God, and you guys are over there. You upset. It's interesting how people who do evil get upset when somebody does something good. They get all mad with you. When you're hanging out with them and you won't do what they ask you to do, they get mad. They get all upset with you. Well, you're just no fun. You are boring. No, I'm not having fun. I can have fun when I get to church. You just hold on. I'm boring to you because I'm saving all my praise for the one and only true living God. So the Bible says that Joseph dreamed a dream and he told his brothers. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I dreamed." Now they upset because God has given them a dream. Listen. When you're living for God, that's what God does. If you want to live without God, then go on over there. But you, if you're not going to live for God, you can't ask God to bless you. Listen, I'm going to tell something simple. God will not bless what he's already cursed. He will not do it. If he said it's a curse, it's still a curse. He cannot and he will not bless it. I tell people the greatest example is somebody steals a loaf of bread running down the street and says, "God, help me get away, help me get away, help me get away." God's like, "Okay, I'm not going to help you get away. You violated my rule. Why don't you just walk in and ask the man for a job?" But understand something. So they're upset because Joseph now dreams a dream. And he said, "Here I pray you to dream which I dream. For behold, we have binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheep stood around about and made obeisance to my sheep." In other words, your sheep bow down. Listen, brothers. Not only do Dad love me, now God gives me a dream, and I'm telling you the dream. Let me tell somebody something here today. When God gives you a dream or gives you a vision, not everybody's going to buy into your dream. There's always going to be somebody who comes along and becomes a dream thief. Somebody comes along and tries to take away the vision. So now Joseph tells his brothers about the dream. He says, "Y'all guys are going to bow down to me." And he gives them the words. And yet he dreamed. God gives him another dream. And God gives him, go ahead, and he says, and told his brothers, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and the sun and the moon and 11 stars made opposites." And he told it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and their mother and their brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" Now, it's one thing to tell your brother who you're equals, but to walk in and tell your parents, "Guess what? I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be in charge." God gave Joseph a dream. God gave him a vision, but the challenge was it was not for that time. Let me tell you something. It's not for that time. He got it, but what he should have done was just held on to the dream and waited for God to fulfill it. Understand something. If God gives you a vision, I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's God's vision, it's God's plan, it's God's execution, and it's God's timing. You got to understand those four things about it when he gives it to you. But Joseph tried to exercise it before it was time. And the Bible says, "Honor their father and their mother, may their days be prolonged upon the face of the earth." When he went in and told them, "I'm going to be in charge," that's being dishonor. That's like walking to your parents and say, "Give me the keys to the car." There's two ways to borrow the car, is to say, "May I borrow the keys to the car?" Or, "Give me the keys to the car." You say, "Give me the keys." The first thing they say, "It's not your car. It's my car." So you have to look at how you did it. So now we know the story. So now Joseph has the dream. He tells his brothers, he tells his father, that mother, that "I'm going to be in charge of you all." But understand something. Between the vision of the dream and the fulfilling of the dream, some things began to take place in Joseph's life. We know the story. The Bible tells us that Joseph goes out to check on his brothers. Now, I'm not sure I would have gone out to check on my brothers knowing that they don't like me. I probably would have stayed around the house close to Dad, because that's the ultimate protection, because Dad likes me. I got 11 other guys out here who don't like me. But Dad says, go out there and check on your brothers. So he heads out to check on his brothers, and they don't see Joseph coming. What do they see? The dreamer coming. The dreamer. Listen, when you go to sleep at night, when you dream, you don't have any intention about dreaming that night. You just want to go to sleep. How many of us go to bed and say, I hope I have a dream tonight? I don't think any of us thinking about that. Most of us said, I'm just tired. I just want to get into bed. I just want to go to sleep. But then all of a sudden, sometimes God gives you this dream that comes along. And all of a sudden, now you're dreaming. And you wake up a lot of times. And the sad thing is, you can't even remember all the dream. And you wish you could, because some of it's some good dreams. And you're like, man, I'd like to remember that dream. But understand, it's God that gives the dream. So he goes out to check on his brothers, and they say, the dreamer is coming. The dreamer is coming. So the Bible says, now he shows up out there, and they decide, the first, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill our brother. That is a sad state when hatred gets to the point that you want to kill your brother. But let me give you an example. That is not a new story. Go back and remember Cain and Abel. Remember that story. Abel didn't do anything. He didn't hurt Cain's feelings. He offered a better sacrifice unto God. Cain got upset. He jealous. He mad. So what does he do? Instead of trying to improve himself, I'm going to wipe out my competition. I'm going to kill him. So now when I come to God, God got to accept me, because there's nobody else, God, just me. So understand something. Instead of them trying to do what's right, they decide to kill the landmark. Let me stop here, because in our society today, people want to don't believe that God is not God, that Jesus Christ is not the ultimate authority. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is ultimately the most holy of holies, the God of all gods, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. That's why you see people attacking him, because they're trying to bring him down. Let me tell you something. Just because man lowered his level down, God does not lower his standards. God doesn't lower his standards. So all of a sudden now they decide they're going to kill him. But then they come along, and Reuben says, no, we're just going to put him in a pit, and put him in a dry pit that there was no water. You know the story. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. So he finds himself down in Potiphar's house. He goes down into Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. Now, something interesting happens in Potiphar's house. God is with Joseph on the whole trip. But see, we want to live for God, and we think everything should go perfect. But when you're living for God, God's got to find out who really wants to live for him. Understand something. When you're in school and you take a test, I tell people it's not about the test. They want to find out how much have you really learned. That's what they're really trying to find out. You sign up. You say, just let me in school. Just let me in school. You want to go to college? Just let me in. Well, letting you in is different than getting yourself out. There's a whole lot of things come between getting in and getting out. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. In any classroom, you do not flunk the exam. If you flunk it, you flunk the preparation for the exam. Understand what I'm saying? You don't flunk the exam. You flunk the preparation. Understand this, we're living in this day-to-day life. The Bible tells us God's mercies are renewed every day. Understand something, as his mercies are renewed every day, when you wake up, the devil's standing right there waiting on you to wake up. Guess what? Just because you took a test yesterday in the spiritual world, guess what? You're going to take a test today. Because understand what I'm trying to tell you. We get to a point sometime we think, oh, no more tests. In this spiritual warfare, and Pastor talked about it great on Wednesday, there will always be a test. You will take, and someday in school, you take your last test. Because now you're about to graduate. Understand something. Graduation is, in our world, is not until we take our last breath on this earth or until God comes back to get us in the rapture. Understand? So now we know that Joseph finds himself in Potiphar's house. But there's something interesting. He finds himself in Potiphar's house. Potiphar leaves him in charge of everything. Potiphar really comes to the point that realizes, hey, God is with him. God is really taking good care of him. Everything Joseph is doing, man, I'm doing pretty good because God is blessing Joseph. Look at verse 8. I'm going to look at 39:5. And it came to pass from the time that he made himself overseer in the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all he that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And it came, give me verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Lay with me. But Joseph looks at it and says, there is none greater in this house than I. He looks at her and says, listen, lady, there's nobody greater in this house than me. What he's saying to her is, listen, I'm greater than you. Isn't that what he's saying? If he looks at her and says, there is none greater. Give me verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. What he's saying is, I'm over you. Potiphar's gone off to do his thing. I'm in charge. Let me tell you something. Why that's important? When you're trying to live for God, the devil shows up. She's just a devil in clothes trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do. Understand something. That's just an example when you're trying to live for God, the devil comes along. But Joseph, as he's going through all these trials, has to begin to realize something, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Understand what I'm trying to tell you, because in the beginning, he's still wrestling with some things. Joseph is going to be used by God, but Joseph is not ready to be used by God. Because first of all, go back when God gave him a vision, what did he do? He threw it up at his brothers. Next, he throws it up at his parents. He gets through everything. He's in Potiphar's house. He throws it up and says, hey, there's none greater in this house. But there was one that was greater in this house. God was blessing everybody through Joseph. It wasn't Joseph doing all that stuff. That's God using. Let me tell you something. God wants to use us if we'll get out of the way and stop thinking we did something. So God blesses him in Potiphar's house. But Joseph said, there is none greater in this house than I. Understand something. I don't know what house you live in, but you first of all got to come to realize it's not your house. That house that you live in, that car that you drive, you got it because God gave it to you. Let me never forget that God gave it to me. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And if he gave it to us, right do we have to boast. Now, Joseph needs to wake up and realize, I'm sure glad I'm not dead. I'm sure glad I'm not down in some pit waiting for something else to happen. But sometimes we got to get past that and begin to realize and say, God, it don't have to be perfect, but you are worthy of my praise because I'm better off now than I was in the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Joseph now finds himself in Potiphar's house. What does she do? She lies on him. Oh, I got to hurry. Oh, I get excited. So she lies on him. Potiphar comes back. And poor Potiphar, he's stuck, man. He's stuck. What do I do? What do I do? I got Joseph over here who's never done anything wrong.
God is blessing me over here. And I got this wife over here who said he tried to come into the house on her. What does he do? He's stuck. So Potiphar kind of makes a compromise. What does he do? He puts him in a prison, a place where the king's prisoners abound. The king's prisoners. Now, Joseph, I'm going to put you in prison. But I'm not going to put you in the prison of prisons. I'm going to put you in the nice prison. Okay? I'm going to put you in the nice prison. I'm going to put you in the king's prisons. Okay? You think that that's just by chance, but it's not by chance. Because it's finna play out in the next part of the story. So Joseph is now in prison. And guess what? God comes along and gives him, they have another dream. The butler and the baker have a dream. But something interesting begins to take place now. Give me Genesis 40 and verse number 8. All of a sudden now, Joseph been in prison. He hits an attitude adjustment. And they said that they dreamed, the butler and the baker dreamed. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, and I pray you. Look at the difference between what Joseph said when he was at his house. When he walked in and told his brothers to dream. He didn't say the interpretation belonged to God. He gave him his own interpretation. First he gave his interpretation to his brothers. Then he gave the interpretation to his mother's father. But all of a sudden now, he done wised up here and realized, oops, do not interpretation belong to God. Tell me them. Look what he says. I pray you. God cannot use us until we begin to humble ourselves. The Bible says pride goeth before a fall. The Bible says humble ourselves under the almighty hand of God. And who what? He will exalt thee when? In due season. So they tell Joseph the dream. And the reason I said it wasn't by accident that he ended up in the king's prison, had he been in the prison of prisons, he would not have run into the butler and the baker. See, sometimes we look at a situation that looks awful bad looking through our eyes, but we got to stop for a moment and say, Lord, let me see it through your eyes and not through my earthly eyes because I can't see it. Isaiah 55 and 8, what does he say? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. God said, you can't understand my thoughts. The minute you think God's thought, God says, can you speak the world into existence? Can you raise the dead? Can you open the eyes of the blind? Can you make the lame walk? God said, if you can do that, then you can talk to me. But if you can't, God said, you don't understand what's going on. But I'm here today to tell somebody, Joseph now begins to understand something. It's not about my interpretation. It's about God's interpretation of the dream. Oh, hallelujah. So they tell him his dream. The butler gets restored. The baker loses his life in 3 days. But it was not open to Joseph's interpretation. But Joseph is still struggling. Because Joseph tells the butler when he's restored, give me verse 14 of chapter 40. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Can you give it to me? Chapter 40, verse 14. Listen to what Joseph does. Now, Joseph is in prison. He tries to get the butler to help him out. Hey, Mr. Butler, when you get your job back, can you think on me when you shall be well with thee and show kindness? I pray thee unto me and make mention of me. Listen, the butler so happened to have his job back, he wasn't even thinking about Joseph. Understand something. He wasn't thinking about Joseph. Hey, man. I didn't get my head cut off. I'm not hanging on some tree. I got my job back. You think I'm going to mention something to Pharaoh? No, I'm just worried about taking care of myself. So Joseph is trying to figure out how to get himself out of prison instead of waiting on God. Let me tell you something. When we start trying to do something and instead of waiting on God, things always go wrong. Because we think we can ask, we can figure out and cover every solution there should be. We think we can think about every possibility. But you know, at the end of the day, we can't think about a whole lot of possibilities. We think we got it figured out. Then all of a sudden, a curveball comes and we say, I didn't think about that. Understand something. So now Joseph is stuck there for two more full years waiting. Because understand something. You're going to have to wait on the Lord sometime. So now he waits on it, and Pharaoh has a dream. And there's nobody to interpret the dream. No magicians can do it. Nobody can do it. But guess what happens? Now the butler comes to his senses. In verse 9 of chapter 41, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. See, God is waiting on the right moment. See, sometimes God is working behind the scenes, setting everything up, waiting for it to come. Understand something. It's like when you were a little kid and you had a birthday party. There was a whole lot of work going on before the party ever started. Understand something. So God is working behind the scenes. Understand something. The second part of the butler and the baker is interesting. Had the baker been saved, the baker would have cooked, but it wouldn't have been the baker who brought the stuff to the Pharaoh. It had to be the butler. Understand something. When you look at God, God can do some amazing things. But now all of a sudden, the butler remembers. And he tells him, and Pharaoh sends for Joseph. It would be better the way Joseph got out of prison for Pharaoh sending for him instead of getting out with the butler's help. Think about what I'm saying. Which would you have rather had? Pharaoh send for you or the butler help you get out? Most of us say, man, I'd rather have Pharaoh send for me. Because now I know I'm going to the big house. I'm going up to see the man. If your butler had helped you get out, you're just hanging out with the butler. But all of a sudden that Joseph gets out and he goes to Pharaoh. And it says, is it not in me? God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph had now begun to realize it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me, folks. In this lifetime that we live, it's not about us. It's not about us. See, we got to get to the point that we understand it's not about you and I. It's about God Almighty, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about it. Think for a moment. And you stand, we're coming to a close. Oh, I've got to hurry because I got so much on my sheet of papers. But think about this. Think about it. Ask yourself a question. How can a God that I've sometime in life forgotten about, a God sometime in life I've despised, a God sometime in life I've forsaken, a God sometime in life I've insulted, a God sometime in life I've rebuked, I've insulted him, I've rejected him, but he treats me as though I've loved him forever. That I never walked away. I never did anything. I don't understand it, people. Church, I don't understand it. I will probably never understand it in this lifetime. But oh, how he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That he gave his life on Calvary. That I might spend eternity with him, folks. So we pray as we come to a close. Oh, precious Heavenly Father. The most gracious God, the God who loved me, beloved all things, Father. The Father, let me understand, as the psalmist says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come, Father. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to me, Father. Father, through the mountaintops, when I could see forever, through the valleys of all valleys, Father. Father, when I felt like I was so all alone, Father, I didn't know where else to go, Father. Father, you never forsook me. You've never left me, Father. You've been right there, oh, Lord. Lord, even when I walked away, Father, you never gave up on me, Father. I don't understand it, God, but Father, I thank you. thank you this morning for allowing me to be able to come back in your house one more time. I thank you for being able to call on the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Oh God, you've been good to me. You've kept me. You watched over me. Your angels have protected me, Father. Oh, you are worthy. You're worthy of all my glory. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy. There is no one like us, Father. Father, take us and go with us, Father. Guide us and direct us, Father. Keep us, Father, and guide us. And I will dismiss in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.